Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. We've got a busy show coming up. Plenty more reaction to the Republic of Ireland's defeat to Wales. We'll have John Giles coming up as always at 7:30. And Kevin Kilbane is still alive. There's been search parties sent out. People were getting worried that we just got rid of Kilbane, that we replaced him with some of the better options, Stephen Hunt and co-commentary. We've Johnny Walters coming up in co-commentary on Sunday.
Well.
So we don't really have as much space for Kilbane, but he is going to come in with his dog yet again. He'll be with us from 8 o'clock and he's going to join us for the football show as well. He's watched a lot of Nations League football over the past week.
A binge.
I'm still not 100% sure that he actually understands what's going on.
He's bringing the dog in though.
He is.
Class. That's all we need to know.
Is there such a thing as a Nations League binge? It's now a thing that actually exists, you know? Do you know, like, people watch, you know, there's certain sporting event, like there's a March Madness and stuff like that. There's certain sporting events that people like binge watch it. People, I mean, how many Nations League games could you have watched last week if you put your mind to it?
Well, you can definitely watch...
Is there two a day? Although, is there a 5 o'clock every day?
No,
Monday there wasn't a 5
day.
O'clock.
There was a 3 o'clock at one stage in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, and the Slovakia Czech Republic was an early kickoff as well.
On Saturday, they have three games. You can watch three games back to back. I'm sure you really enjoyed my commentary of Romania-Serbia on Virgin Media Sport on Sunday.
What's Bucharest like at this time of year?
Oh, it was warm. It was 25 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Did you introduce by saying you're very welcome to the stadium here?
It was...
You were there.
I sent the pictures.
Virgin Media had the big money now.
It was a scoreless draw, which at the time was the fourth
consecutive... The crowd were a bit restless there, were they?
Fourth consecutive scoreless draw I'd commentated on. Oh. So I was, in a way, if I seemed happy to see that goal fly in for Harry Winston.
How did you cope with the fireworks and the smoke that was going on before the game?
Well, that wasn't before the game. That was actually after the game started.
Okay.
So the game was on for about 30 seconds.
Surely
and then it was a break for a good 4 minutes.
That impeded your view. I was
not really. Myself and Gary Breen had a good view from our
seat. Breen over as well?
Yeah, yeah. Go anywhere without Gary.
Not any nice restaurants over in Bucharest?
Yeah, all the good stuff, Richie. I can send you on some recommendations.
Could you? Because I was thinking of doing a bit of a trip there.
Nice, yeah.
This time of year, 20
odd degrees. Game. So there I watched, I saw a very early game. So I think I've seen five Nations
You've seen five? And I mean, you've been to five different countries to do them as well.
This is the thing.
Well-stamped passport for Nathan.
That is Dan McDonald, who's with us once again this evening. How are you?
Hi, Nathan.
And Richie McCormack, who's got his, Luther Mateus Italia 90 training top?
Yeah.
Is that a training top?
The way you say Luther is if you're Jimmy McGee, because he could never say Lothar. It's Luther Mateus.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that at all. You're in good company.
Where did you get that? Tell me.
The internet.
Is that an original or is that a Adidas remake?
Remake from the last couple of years.
How much that cost you?
Enough.
Go on.
Enough.
I would say 80 quid.
No.
Oh, less.
Less?
Yeah, it was less.
Yes. You got it on the internet, so I mean.
Yeah, I guess so. The news round brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. So we're going to talk about Martin O'Neill's comments, which were, you sort of teed them up last night, that they were interesting. So the way post-match works for a manager is he does his live interviews on Sky and RTE, and then he goes into his press conference, which all the radio are there, and we can ask our questions and we can use straight away. And then he goes off around the back, and we never know quite what happens, but I always see you guys going, there's a very much a firm, you're not allowed in here.
Tonight,
no
son.
Radio. Not happening. No,
put your microphones away.
And the entire estate looks at me and with disgust. So what happened with Martin O'Neill?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it was covered across the papers today, and a couple of key sound bites, I guess. It actually started off really as normal, to be honest. The post match, you know, generally try and ask a few more questions with a view to bringing things on because it's published the day after, you know. So more so looking ahead to next month and what happens from here. But I guess at a certain point, I mean, to be fair, the post match interview for a manager after a defeat is difficult. You know, there's naturally. Emotions are heightened, and it is the time where people, you know, Kevin Keegan style, can lash out or go a particular way.
And just trying to wind a little bit to get the reaction and get the line.
I'm not sure if that was the intention, but I think certainly what needed to be asked after the other day. Now, I was actually more to the back of this huddle, so I'm not going to take credit for any questions that were asked, but generally, I think there had to be questions with regard to the future, I mean, and his future, because. I mean, that's what people are asking. Like,
tell me how we got to a situation where Martin O'Neill is saying, I will win.
Because I'm
Why?
Good.
Because I'm good.
Yeah, well, I don't know, at one point someone asked a question saying, listen, had you discussed your position with the FAI in the context of, like, will the Nations League affect your position, or words to that effect? And it was sort of a politely phrased question, and he answered that, but then he gave a very positive response in the affirmative about how he plans to deliver, and that led to a bit more probing. Well, you know, when are you going to deliver? And then from that we went to, I'll win. I didn't quite pick it up what he was saying at first, but it was like, I'll win. It was like a two-word answer. And I was like, what did he just say there? I'll win. So then,
in fact, he said I rather than we.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. You know, it's, I will win. I will prevail, you know.
In spite of all you.
So a couple more questions. And then again, in the context of another answer, he just said, I'll win. I'll win again. And then he's along the lines of, we'll go through. That's for sure. Go through where? To the Euros. Are you talking about the Euros? And just to clarify, this is the kind of thing that's harder to do when there's a microphone being passed around. Like, you mean the finals of 2020? Absolutely. Are you sure? Yeah. Why? Because I'm good. And
was it sort of a happened then? Kind of
sense, no. It was sternly delivered within a two. You know, it was straight back. It wasn't like, because I'm good. It was like, no, because I'm good. And that was it. And you could just see people like, well, this is interesting.
Martin,
this was the and it wasn't like madly under pressure. It was more sort of confident, cocky, whatever you want to call it. But it was effectively him saying, "I'm the manager. I will get it done. That's it." And my view, and I sort of touched on it in the piece today, is that sometimes you see Martin O'Neill at close quarters, and you realise sort of he is a strong sort of authoritative figure. You know, there's no point really where we've seen Martin O'Neill, I don't think, hugely rattled. We've seen him in, and everyone I think will have seen him in post-match interviews, maybe the RTE one, a bit tetchy and you know, getting into a bit of a sort of verbal sort of tennis thing. But never really, I don't think, rattled to the sense where he's like,
he's still getting his message across.
Yeah, he's never walked out of a room and you've thought, God, he's broken tonight. You know, he fights fire with fire, I guess. And this was him taking that view. And my view would be, can you imagine like the FAI board or someone trying to come in and say to Martin, well, you know, we're not really happy with results at the moment. He's a sort of a stronger character than anyone that we would be in that room with. You know, he's got absolute belief in himself. All the stuff about Forest.
Tell me who's going to do a better job.
Well, that's exactly what
the
line would be.
Who's going to do a better job?
That's what the line would be. What have I done? You know, he will give it out. And he's a commanding figure. Like, you forget that people talk about Roy Keane like being this hugely intimidating presence. Martin O'Neill is probably, I mean, Roy Keane, by all accounts, sort of falls in line with Martin O'Neill.
He says, yeah.
You know, Martin O'Neill is the just boss.
One of the more interesting parts of the
so
dynamic.
He has the strength of character to hold him, you know?
All right, we are going to come back to that and a lot more with Dan and with Kev on the football show and also with John Giles in a minute. But I want to turn to matters somewhat more serious, because this afternoon a 21-year-old Italian man, Filippo Lombardi, was found not guilty of causing grievous bodily harm to Sean Cox outside Anfield in Liverpool earlier this year. Newstalk's Frank Graney joins us on the line. He was at Preston Crown Court today. Frank, can you tell us what happened in court this afternoon?
Well, at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, Nathan, the judge called the men and women of the jury back into Court 10 at Preston Crown Court to give them the majority verdict direction. They had been deliberating for just under 9 hours. They were sent out to begin their deliberations yesterday afternoon, and the judge told them that at that point he would accept a majority verdict. They returned to their jury room, but they were back in the courtroom a couple of minutes later, and they had arrived at a majority verdict, and they found Mr. Lombardi not guilty of inflicting serious bodily harm, grievous bodily harm on Sean Cox. We all know the aftermath and the devastating effects that had on Mr. Cox. He is now still in hospital. He's in the National Rehabilitation Unit in Dunleary. And we've heard during the trial that he suffered severe brain injuries when he was punched and knocked unconscious outside Anfield. And that was ahead of a clash between Liverpool and Roma in the Champions League last April.
So this incident has obviously garnered a huge amount of attention, and it was such a horrific situation that Sean Cox, a completely innocent party, and I guess so many people can relate to going to matches and just walking around, enjoying the stadium, having a look around, and then to get attacked in such an unprovoked manner. People want to see justice. As you say, he suffered catastrophic injuries, severe brain injury. He's going to face a lifetime of care. His wife has been talking in the papers that the costs may come up to €2 million, that they're looking at major fundraising efforts so that Sean Cox can get the best possible treatment going forward. But also, everybody wants to see justice. What happens from here so that the family get justice, that the person who inflicted these injuries on Sean Cox is found?
That's a very good question. And I suppose one thing that was apparent throughout the trial and one thing that was accepted by both sides was the punch that knocked Sean Cox to the ground wasn't actually delivered by Mr. Lombardi. That was delivered by a man in court that was described. He was never identified, but he was described as N40. And we heard that a man has been arrested in relation to that punch, and he was arrested in Italy and he is facing extradition proceedings. That's all the jury was told in relation to that. Mr. Lombardi was acquitted this afternoon, but let's not forget that he did plead guilty to a lesser charge of violent disorder, and he was sentenced to 3 years in prison for that. The footage that was shown throughout the trial, this is footage that was pieced together from CCTV cameras mounted on the cop, which is where, just behind the cop, is where this incident took place. There was also footage from fans that were going to the game. The footage itself was frightening. You see Liverpool fans walking up the street towards the stadium. Everyone was in good form. We heard that Sean Cox was there with his brother Martin. They had their arms around each other. They were laughing. They were joking. They were looking forward to the game. And then all of a sudden, from Vermont Street, about 30 Roma fans dressed in black, blue jeans and white trainers, all with their hoods up, some with their faces covered, some with weapons like belts. Mr. Lombardi armed himself with a belt, and they just flood into this scene, and then chaos ensues, and obviously that assault on Mr. Cox took place. When you talk about justice, Mr. Lombardi has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. There's another man who has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. And let's wait and see if this man who was arrested in connection with the same incident is extradited and brought before a court in England in due course. But their main, and Mr. Cox's wife was there, his son was there, family members were there throughout. They didn't make a comment afterwards, but clearly they were very disappointed by today's outcome. Their focus is on Sean Cox. We heard from Martin Cox, who gave evidence last week, that he is unable to talk still all these months later. He can only whisper. He can't sit himself up in the bed. He needs assistance to do that. So all of their attention will be now on this 12-week rehabilitation program that he is undergoing. And like you mentioned, the fundraising efforts must continue as well, because he's going to need an awful lot of care going forward.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. Frank Graney there of News Talk, who was at Preston Crown Court today. And of course, we will keep you updated on any of the fundraising efforts. We've had some people from Dunboyne GAA on the show over the last couple of weeks, and anything that's happening over the next little while, we will let people know, because I know people around the country really do want to support the Cox family. So, Richie, where are we starting in the news round?
We'll start with Buenos Aires. Happier news from there. Sean McCarthy Crean secured Ireland's third medal of the Youth Olympics this evening. The Cork teenager claimed a bronze by reaching the semi-finals of the plus 68kg Kumite Karate. McCarthy Crean was beaten by Morocco's Nabil Esh Shabi in his semi-final within the past hour. Last night, Leitrim featherweight Dermot Rooney won a bronze by beating New Zealand's Tamania Shelford Edmonds on a unanimous decision in the boxing, and that followed Niamh Coyne's silver in the pool, which came last week.
So the indoor football final was on earlier. Brazil against Russia. There was quite an own goal from one of the Russian players. The ball was crossed over from the left-hand side, came to the Russian defender, who just smashed it into the top corner, in that he'd had a complete sort of...
Brain fart,
yeah. And thought he was scoring down the opposite way. Uh-huh. At first, I just thought, God, this is the calmest man I've ever met. He's just scored in the final of the Youth Olympics, and there was no celebration whatsoever.
So indoor football, you say, was it?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I've completely missed this in the Ireland cycle. There's actually indoor football.
Hmm. Yeah, indoor football. It did get me thinking, though, because at first it was like, is this one of these situations where he's playing against his former team and he's not celebrating? Are we going to get to a situation with football or rugby where there's so many players who grew up in different countries playing for another country that they won't celebrate against the country they were born in?
Oh, that would be an extreme turn of events. I don't know.
It could happen, though.
Diego Costa.
So CJ Stander scores a try against South Africa and he just gets up and goes, no. No celebrations here. Declan Rice comes back and he scores a last minute winner against England.
If Declan Rice...
Callum Robinson scores against England. No.
Yeah, 29 underage caps for England.
No celebrations here.
No, I don't think that would be a new level. Like, I mean, don't Qatar have an entire international team, basically,
mostly Brazilians
sort of imported in. Yeah. So if they ended up playing Brazil at the World Cup, would they be in a really difficult? Imagine the opening game playing their host country.
Everybody singing the one national anthem.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely the anthem. I kind of wonder if players ever made the mistake of just like humming along with their own anthem, you
know? Well, certain Irish international at the playoff final.
Yes, yeah, that was.
Which Roy Keane brought up in his book.
Yeah. I mean, can we say who it is? Everyone knows, surely.
Former, sometime guest on the show.
Scored against Cameroon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah, people can guess who that might be. Yeah. His surname is also a country.
Listen, he was humming along. He thought it was a catchy tune.
It happens, yeah. But I mean, I think that the World Cup in the summer wasn't there something that the amount of French-born players in the tournament was outrageously large. Now, I know sort of France's history is a bit more complex in terms of, you know, the various communities there. But I don't know if Le Marseillais is playing, are they just going to hum along to it?
You would anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's maybe more excusable. Yeah. I mean, humming along to God Save the Queen, you've got serious problems. You know, like, oh yeah, real catchy tune that. I really like that, you know.
That excuse wasn't going to wash with Roy.
No, definitely not. And I just got
caught up in the moment.
I just really like the lyrics, you know. That's not really going
to
work.
If you listen to them deeply, you know, there's real meaning there. Shane Finnegan is watching us on youtube.com/offtheball. Evening, Shane. Is Richie just coming from indoor soccer in the 1980s?
Oh, that's harsh now. That's harsh. Not that old. Not as old as Nathan. 5 Munster players have been rewarded with contract extensions. New deals for Chris Farrell and Chris Kluta will see them remain with the province until at least the summer of 2022. While Tommy O'Donnell, Neil Cronin and James Cronin have all signed 2-year deals that run to June 2021. Meanwhile, another player will be making the switch from Leinster to Munster in the summer. Scrum half Nick McCarthy is to follow in the footsteps of Joey Carberry at the end of this term. A first round 69 leaves Shane Lowry on 2 under par at a weather affected Andalusia Masters in Valderrama. As things stand, the Claramont is 3 shots adrift of leader England's Ashley Chesters. The threat of lightning had called a halt to play for over 2 hours there this afternoon. Padraig Harrington and Gavin Moynihan are both level and are among 60 players that will have to complete their first rounds tomorrow morning. But Larry feels he's in a position to compete this week.
You know, the last sort of couple of months have been good, and since I went over after the Open, since I went to kind of America there, and I played a few good weeks, and you know, last week was kind of one of those weeks where I didn't really get anything going, and I did well to make the cut and managed to finish middle of the pack. But I definitely come in here this week to try and contend, try and compete. And look, there's a long way to go. It's going to be a long week because there's storms forecast for the rest of the week, and I just have to get out there when I get the chance and try and hit some good shots.
Donegal's Jason Quigley puts his NABF middleweight title on the line in California in the small hours of tomorrow morning. El Animal takes on Freddy Hernandez in the small hours around about 3 o'clock in Dio. The fight will be Quigley's second under trainer Dominic Ingle, and sees Quigley looking to improve on his record to 15-0. But speaking with Highland Radio last night, Quigley is in confident mood.
There hasn't been one fighter that I've been in with yet that I felt like I'm in against it here. Do you know what I mean? Like, this lad is my biggest test to date. He has been to higher levels than this, than fighting me, you know what I mean? He's fought for the world title. He's been in with great fighters, and this is a step up for me. It's going to be a great test for me, but you know, I'm 110% confident, feeling very good, feeling very strong, and just weighing in and looking at him in his eyes, you know what I mean? I just see a man that's there for the taking.
If Jason Quigley didn't have enough to worry about in fighting Freddy Hernandez tonight, he's going to step straight out of the ring and straight onto a Skype call with Adrian Barry on OTBAM tomorrow morning from 7:45.
It's a tough bout.
That is dedication. That is agreeing to a post-fight interview before the fight even happens. That's what I'd like to see.
It's confidence.
It is confidence.
That's the I will win mentality that Martin Hill
likes. I will win.
Because I'm good.
That is one of those comments that is going to be brought up again and again. And again,
that was the thing.
So we draw our opening game of the proper qualifiers, as we call them. Martin, do you still think you're going to win?
Yeah.
You said you will win. But you know,
it's the kind of definitive statement that sort of, it does follow you around.
If
he does win, though, can you imagine?
Oh,
it'd be a golden cleric speech practically when he's in Ireland have qualified.
Top of the list, Dan, yeah, you will be quite near it.
No, I won't be. No,
a few in this building, I would say, would definitely be near it. One of them, I think, was on this afternoon. Now, you can check out a show now online.
He could be top.
He could be top of the list right now. I was searching for positives when I went home on Tuesday night and again went into the fun fair that is the Nations League Wikipedia page and working things out again. And it is practically impossible not to reach a playoff if you're in the top two leagues. And also, we have
pretty
a point.
Hard. It's pretty hard not to. But the there's a fair chance. Yeah, but
there's a fair chance we end up in that 4-team playoff in March 2020. The problem is we could end up against quite a good team.
Yeah, I think it's basically Trey explained it. It's your seeding position is still going to be bad if you're the worst you do in the Nations League. So more chance of a tougher playoff still. But yeah, it is true. March 2020, we could still be in the Euros.
Yeah, I think there's every chance we will be.
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to.
That's a long way away.
Yes. So Martin O'Neill will still be there, though.
14 playoffs.
Still be, but that's the thing, he'll still be able to say, I will win.
And I got to the playoffs. Mm. The entire Christmas, it'd be 4-month build-up to a playoff. It's normally a month. It'd be four months.
Yeah. One-legged, are they?
One-legged, yeah. Semi-final and final. I'm not sure if they've decided would it all be in one venue or, like, you know, home and away. And
well, listen, we're going to run down through it all with Kev, and he's going to bring us through all the possible permutations.
We will bring clarity here. We can just get the dog to do it.
After 9 o'clock. Yeah. The dog would be more use when it comes to the Nations League than Kev.
Yeah.
Burnley manager Sean Dyche says Robbie Brady is nearing a return to their first team. The Republic of Ireland winger has been out since December after suffering a serious knee injury in Burnley's 1-0 defeat away to Leicester. Brady played 90 minutes of a challenge match with AFC Fylde this week, but Dyche says Saturday's Premier League trip to Manchester City will come too soon for the Dubliner. Dyche gave an update on the fitness of Brady today along with Stephen Ward, Belgian midfielder Stephen Defour. But first, John Walters.
That's settling. It's your longer term situation. That's settling down. Wardy, unfortunately, has had a sort of a tidy up in his knee and a washout, if you like, on his knee. We'll wait and see, you know, but that's not going to be days. Obviously, that's going to be weeks. Better news with Stephen, he got another 90 in earlier in the week, which is great. We managed to arrange a game just to make sure he's fit and well. Robbie came through that as well, 90 minutes, his first 90 minutes, actually, because he's been close to 90 minutes and we just had to either take him off or he's just felt a little niggle. The last one was his hamstring, but he was clear. That doesn't give him, that we're not going to clear him for this week or any of that. But what I mean is, that's another great, you know, step forward.
So as we knew, a long-term injury for John Walters, he needs to start thinking about other aspects of his life, who he wants to spend his Sundays with.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
No.
He hasn't entered that competition, has he?
Oh, my God.
That's right. That's right. John Walters has won the chance to spend his Sunday afternoon with me. We're going to Goodison.
As if a serious injury wasn't bad enough.
I know. This is what... It'll be a one-off, I suspect. He'll
you
go
inhaling eclairs at Goodison Park on Sunday.
Right now, he's thinking, he's done a bit of Sky Sports, he's done a bit of Five Live, I'll give off the ball a go, and then he'll probably decide, actually, this media career is not for me. So John Walters is with us, Goodison Park. It is Everton against Crystal Palace, 4 o'clock on Sunday.
You have a few things to talk about in the stoppages.
Just the game. No,
his family are all Everton fans as well, that's the thing.
Well, that's why I'd been targeting for a while, and I was always going, an Everton game, you know,
perfect.
It might be a nice place, just nearby. So he's finally responded, and he has coming on Sunday. Of course, we'll just talk about the game if he's listening in now. We'll just talk about everything.
Nothing else
will come up.
That's not how it works. That's not how it works
at all. So that's Sunday. Also, something else to let you know about is our next Off the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club. We are going to be live from the Olympia Theatre on Tuesday, November 13th. We'll have an all-star lineup of Ireland and All Blacks legends who will be revealing over the next few days. Get on to offtheball.com/events right now to get your tickets. It's the latest Off the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club. And remember, this event is for over 18s only. Visit drinkaware.ie, an all-star presenting lineup as well. I've got the boot. Hard to believe. After that wonder show down in Limerick. Nothing went wrong with that. I don't know what the problem is.
Just leaving a high.
Listen back to the edited version online now on offtheball.com.
It's about 2 minutes long.
It's pretty short. Cheers, lads. We'll talk to you again in a little while dancing around for the football show. John Giles is up next.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.